298 at the bottom, on the top it's page Ayin Tes. At the end of Perek Gimel, and the beginning of Perek Dalet, which we learned last week, the Alter Rebbe basically asked a basic question, that if, based on what we learned until now, the entire existence of the world is the Ray of Hashem, but not the Ray of Hashem leaving Hashem, the Ray of Hashem in Hashem, right, I'm not going to repeat the whole thing, so the question is, why does world look to be something if world really is nothing? Then world shouldn't be in existence, it should only be a lukus. So he started explaining in Perek Dalet, the Pasuk Yishem Shemogen Hashem Elokim, that like the sun and the protective shield around the sun is the two names of Hashem and Elokim. And he explained that the name of Yudke Vavke, the name of Hashem, the tetragram as it's called, or the essential name of Hashem, means Mahava. And the Yud, before the Hey Vav Hey, is the union of continuous. So he says that when the Eberstein makes the world from the name of Yudke Vavke itself, if Hashem only created the world with Yudke Vavke, the world would be an infinite existence. And what we're in the middle of learning is in order for world to be limited, to be functionable, you need to have the name of Elohim to limit and conceal and to contract and to hide the name of Yudke Vavke. Okay, and we started explaining, we're in the middle of the page of Ayin Tes. And he explained that this Chesed Chinam, this free kindness that Hashem created the world with, that level of Chesed is an infinite level of Chesed that Hashem keeps the world out of His kindness, because the nature of good is to do good. And he says as follows, in the Kamesh, exactly middle of the page, just like this attribute of chesed, of kindness, is the praise of Hashem, that it's not at all in the ability of any creation to create something out of nothing and to keep it existing, meaning only Hashem could create yesh miyayin, and I'll explain in a second, the gamida zu, and this attribute of Hashem, is lemaile mehaskolas kol habiruyim vasegosim, is above the understanding of any creature, no matter how spiritual they are. Shein keach b'seichel shum nivra, it's impossible for the brain of any creation lahaskol lahasig mida zu, to understand this mida, v'chol to livre yesh miyayin, to create something from nothing, ulachayesi, to make it live, because this ability to create something from nothing is above any logic. To create yesh miyayin, as Alter Rebbe is explaining before and will explain more so, the concept of creating something from nothing, what's called in English ex nihilo, is an impossibility in logic. Because yesh miayin means, let me preface it by explaining first a different question Chassidus asks. Yesh miayin means something from nothing. That's the definition of yesh miayin. The question is, how could it be called yesh miayin if God is not nothing? God is something. And if anything, He is the real something. And the world is nothing. How can we say there is a concept of yesh mi'ayin, something from nothing? So the answer is, in Chassidus, a twofold answer. Number one, the ability to create yesh mi'ayin, even though it comes from the essence of Hashem, as Alter Rebbe explains in the Geres HaKodesh, nevertheless, the speech of Hashem that we learned about in Sheikh Vamun, the 10 utterances that Hashem created the world with at the beginning of creation, are nothing compared to Hashem Himself. So we're calling it Ayin not because it's nothing, but because compared to the essence of Hashem, the speech of Hashem, which is one word, like we learned last week, compared to the power of speech, compared to the power of thought, and all that is nothing. So therefore we call it ayin. Another reason, and this is the primary reason, why do we say the world was created as something out of nothing? Because the something doesn't feel where it comes from. If you ask the physical world, do you feel your source? Many people in the world will tell you there is no God. They're atheists, or they don't know. So they're agnostics. But basically, they don't know. The truth is, if the existence of the yesh, of the world, is dependent on the power of God in it, what do you mean you don't feel it? Your existence is it. All of a sudden, you don't feel it. And as far as you're concerned, you're a self-existent entity. You don't come from a source. That ability only Hashem could do. With all the cloning that's going on in the world today, they will never, ever be able to create life. They can extend life. You can move life. You can do whatever you want with life. But you cannot create life. Why can't you create life? It's a very logical thing. It's impossible to unite and combine two opposite forces. It's impossible to connect fire and water to coexist. Even though fire and water, as opposite as they are, have something in common. They're both creations. They're both limited. They're both existing in the world. Ruchnius and Gashmius, spirituality and the physical, are much, much more opposites than fire and water. So it's impossible for anybody to create life, which means to combine spiritual into physical together. It's mabish an impossibility. That was a power of Tumah that the Eibishter gave him, but also it was, as the Rambam says, it wasn't a real existence. In other words, in Kedusha, it's also to combine spiritual and physical. In order to do that, you have to be higher than spiritual and physical together. Because if you're spiritual, you can't create something which is not you. You can't make physical if you're limited in spiritual. If you're physical, you cannot have spiritual, because each one's an opposite limitation. In order to combine spiritual and physical together, you need to be higher than both together. And therefore, Hashem, the Eibishter, who's not spiritual, who's not physical, who's above both together, can combine both things together. And the same thing is with Yesh Miayim. Now, the Rebbe Niger Zekedesh writes in Simen Chof that the ability to create Yesh Miayim is only in the Koyach of Atzmusi Mehusa Yudbar, only from the essence of Hashem. Because Hashem is not Yesh, Hashem is not Ayin, He's not Ruchnis, He's not Gashmis, He's not spiritual, He's not physical, He's not nature, He's not supernatural. He's above it all, and therefore he could do it. So for a human to understand how something could exist with a power that's its existence and yet not there, we can't understand that. It's an impossibility to understand the concept that Yashmiyah, we could say it in words, we can vocabularize it, you know, right? But in understanding, it's impossible, because this is an infinite level of understanding that the limited brain can get. So he said, now the Rebbe is going to explain that just like the koyach to create mahavet, to create yesh me'ayin, is beyond our understanding, the limited power that Hashem has, meaning the power of limitation that Hashem has to do a tzimtzum, we also can't understand. Because it's God's attributes that we can't understand. Just like we cannot understand God's infinite power because we're limited, the same way we cannot understand God's power of limitation. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe is explaining now this whole concept of Tzimtzum is really beyond our understanding. But it is there. Meaning, the world's existence is dependent on Hashem. Not only that Hashem is giving life to the world as a separate entity, like a battery in a toy. The existence of the object is dependent on Hashem. Is the ray of Hashem in Hashem himself. So the whole existence of the world is Hashem. And yet Hashem is totally not felt in the world. Not only is he not felt in the world, you can be anti-God in the world. Because Alter Rebbe is going to explain what is the concept of Tzimtzum, like we said the words last time. The concept of Tzimtzum means Hashem is where he isn't. Hashem is where he isn't. How could you be where you're not? That's the concept of Tzimtzum. This book, its existence is God. That means God is the existence of this book, and yet God's not here. How could that be? Only God could be where he's not. Yeah, even where he's not. That's what Yesh Miayin means. Yesh Miayin means the Yesh doesn't feel where it comes from, even though the entire existence of the Yesh is God. And yet he doesn't feel God. How can he not feel God if God is the existence? And it's not bluff. He feels God's not there. By nature, you feel God's not there. You have to learn that God's there. So the Alter Rebbe wants to explain. We can't understand it. We can't understand his midas. So the Alter Rebbe asked the question, how could it be that the world is not bottled if the whole existence of the world is Elokus? So Alter Rebbe is going to say, good morning, that's what Tzimtzum is all about. Tzimtzum means that everything is Hashem, but Hashem is not there, because he's not felt. And he's not felt, then in our world he's not there. Let's see it inside. Not that we're going to understand any better, but at least we'll know what we're not understanding. Okay, 6 lines in the bottom. No, 8 lines in the bottom. Ki mimidas gedolasa shal kodesh baruch hu, because the attribute of chesed to create yesh miayin is in the greatness of Hashem. Va'kodesh baruch hu midas of achdus poshut, and Hashem in his midas are one simplistic power of godliness. That means that Hashem is not composed of his midas. Hashem is not composed of 10 attributes. Hashem is one simplistic being. God is God. And because he's God, he has 10 attributes. That doesn't mean Hashem is composed of 10 attributes. To give the mashal that we learned many times, we can write, we have a power of writing. Yeah? Now, in the English alphabet, there's 26 letters. In the Hebrew alphabet, it's the 22, or the 5, Matzah Pachas, 27. Yeah? We have a koyach to write. We can write Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Daleth, Revav. We can write A, B, C, D. We can write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We can write zillions, literally different type of caricatures or letters or numbers or symbols or signs or whatever. That doesn't mean that the power in my finger is composed of 26 letters. It's not that my power of writing is composed of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Because if it's composed of A, B, C, D, F, G, I couldn't write Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. I couldn't write 1, 2, 3, 4. What do I have? My one hand, my power of writing, is one simplistic power of writing. It's not limited or restricted in any letter, shape, form, or size. It is one simplistic power. Therefore, any possible writing, any possible letter, number, picture, form, shape, size, I could write with my power. That doesn't mean my power is composed of 26 letters or 28 letters or whatever. Hashem is one simplistic being. He is not composed of 10 levels. He's not composed of billions of levels. God is God. And because God is God, there isn't a thing he can't do. So Hashem in his midos, the attribute of chesed that Hashem does, is, like he says, all the midos are achdus pashut, like it says in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Iyo v'gamay echad, Hashem and the Kelim, the midos are one. Therefore, k'shem she'ein b'yachel l'shem seichel nivra. Just like it's impossible for any creation lahasig beri to understand God, just like you can't understand Hashem, we can't understand any of his attributes. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, it's good, because that's basically what we're learning, that you can't understand what we're learning. Meaning, if you can't understand God, you can't understand his behavior. His behavior is infinitely one with Hashem. His midos, whether he's doing chesed, gvura, kindness, strictness, no matter what he's doing, it's Hashem. And if we can't understand God, we can't understand his infinite power, we can't understand his power of limitation, we just know it's Hashem. And we can't understand it. And if we think we understand it, then we need our brains checked. Because it's impossible to understand it. And that's why when people question Hashem's behavior, why did Hashem kill 6 million? Why did Hashem make people sick and hungry and broke or miserable or whatever? The answer is, it's not even a question. Because the question is not why we don't understand it, the question is why we think we do understand it when we don't. So whatever the Eibishter does, we can't understand. No, he makes us feel connected. When you do a mitzvah, you become completely connected. I mentioned this quite, one second. I mentioned the question in the past. And you don't have to answer it, because you don't have to incriminate yourself. A person should ask themselves a question. If you would be God, would you run the world differently? Whoever answers yes to the question is an apikatus, a non-believer, and has no comprehension or understanding what God's all about. I guess we're all apikurus. Big time. If the answer is no, because that's what they're supposed to say. Because by definition, God runs the world the best possible way. In my eyes, it doesn't look right. That's my problem. That's not God's problem. Hashem is very kind to us. More kind than we think he is. More kind than we think he is. Yeah. But one second. What happens though if a person has a 1-year-old and the parents are trying to get the kid to eat or to sleep or to do something that they have to be doing, and the kid just doesn't get it? The kid doesn't want to eat, they don't want to sleep, they don't want to do anything. When was the last time the parents sat down to have a discussion with the kid, who's a 1-year-old kid, to discuss why you really should be eating, and what's the benefit of going to sleep now, and what's the benefit of going to school now? A 1-year-old kid and the parents have a lot in common. They're both limited seichel. The parent sometimes is a little smarter than the kid. And yet, the parent is not going to sit down to a baby a month old and start explaining things. God goes coochie, coochie, cooch a lot. So how in the world can Hashem sit down? By the way, I want, just for the record, I'm saying something now, but the truth is Hashem does explain it to us. And no, Hashem explains it to us, and Hashem tells us. It's called the Torah, and you got to learn it and understand it, because when you learn Torah, you will understand God's ways. But God is not going to reveal himself. I mentioned many times, years ago, I mean, the man passed away many, many years ago. There's a 90-year-old man in the shul, a very cute, old man, him and his wife, a wonderful, nice couple, came to shul every Shabbos, no, more or less a religious Jew. And one day, his name is Meshi Yehuda, that was his name. And he said, he came over to me one day and he said, you know, I don't understand. He spoke half English, half Yiddish. He said, I don't understand. God appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu. God appeared to, you know, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why doesn't God appear to me? And he said to me, I don't need God to make whole speeches. All I need him to come along and say, Moshe Yehuda, you're doing a nice job. That's all. Why doesn't... And he meant it. You know, the interesting thing is the guy meant it. He's such a nice guy. You know, he was very sincere about it. So I couldn't sit down and explain to him that the truth is that God does appear to you. He woke up in the morning, God appeared to you. You have food on the table, God appeared to you. You can open your mouth and eat, God appeared to you. I mean, that's all revelations of God. What do you think it is? Okay? When a person wants to understand, because we're his children, and only because we're his children, and he's stuck with us, so to speak, does God give us everything that we have, even though we might not necessarily deserve it? That's only because we're his children. Because at the beginning of creation, the Medrash says, "Betchila," and there's a whole hemshech and chassidus that are not discussing this. "Betchila ala b'machshavti liveras ha'ilim b'midas ha'din, ra she'ein ha'ilim iskayim shitif imei midas ha'rachamim." When Hashem initially created the world, and that's where the world starts with Bereshit Bara Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim. God, so to speak, and you have to understand what this means. The initial plan of God was to create the world with the attribute of judgment. Meaning, you're good, you're here. You misbehave, you're out. You know, like teachers tell kids, you behave, you're in the classroom. You misbehave, you're out. God saw, Sheina Elam is Kaim, he's not going to have a world left. He's going to be God by himself. He's like the teacher throwing out all the kids, and the teacher will be stuck with teaching themselves. So God incorporated into Midas Adin, Midas Rachamim. And therefore, at the end of creation, it says, B'yeim Aseis, Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. Hashem added the name of Yud Kevavke, which is Midas Rachamim, into Midas Adin. But for a person to come along and say, what the Rebbe says here, basically, you can't understand anything God does. Because God and his behavior, his midas, which means Hashem's behavior, is one thing with Hashem, which is creator, which is by definition, by mathematical definition, by scientific definition, above the limited brain resources of a human being. You mean God could do it?
Sure.
Of course he could do it.
Isn't that merciful?
No, but he wants us to do it.
Why?
Do you want to do your kids' homework, or should the kids do the homework? Hello?
What?
I want to tell you a little secret. It's much easier for the parents to do the kids' homework than to have the kids making them crazy. It's easier for the parents to straighten up the kids' room than to yell and scream at the kid that they should do it. You know that? 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. So, trust me, trust me. So why don't parents do it? And by the way, a parent that does do the kid's homework, and a parent that does clean up the room for the kid, shouldn't be a parent. Maybe biologically, you know, they are, but mentally, they're not a parent. Why? Because the accomplishment is that the kid should be able to do it, not the parent. Because if the parent keeps doing the homework, when will the kid learn anything? They wouldn't be successful. No, they wouldn't be successful. There would be failures.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because the person has to learn to live on their own. What do you think? They're going to have their mother with them all day?
No,
maybe the mother-in-law, but not the mother. The Eibishter says, I could do it. There's no question, if the Eibishter wanted to bring Mashiach, it's done. Okay, he doesn't want, he wants us to bring Mashiach. What's the big deal? It's very logical. So he asks, why, if Hashem is responsible for us, he's our father and we're his kids, so why doesn't he, because Hashem says, be, as it is, we're spoiled brats. So he wants us to be more spoiled brats. Right. Yep. That's what it's all about. Huh? Let me ask you a question. There are people, and we know that such people exist, because a lot of times in Mifzayim, you'll meet a person 60s or 70s, and, you know, yes, are you Jewish? Half Jewish? They don't even know they're Jewish. They found out that their grandmother is Jewish, whatever. There are people that are born into this world that are Jewish who don't know they're Jewish. And they die from this world at 80, 90, 100, not even knowing they're Jewish. You know how many people that are really Jewish that are living their entire life, not the pshat, they heard that they were Jewish, they found out, they don't even know to look to be Jewish, because they don't even know they're Jewish, and yet they're Jewish, right? So now the question is, what type of neshama did Hashem send down? You can't even blame the person. It's not the pshat, the person knew his parents are Jewish. As far as he was concerned, he's a guy. And his parents went to church, and go to church, and he goes to church as a true guy, okay? And he, believe me, you know, he doesn't even know he's Jewish, he doesn't even know to look into Yiddishkeit, because he's told, you know, you're a guy, be a guy. So what is the purpose for their neshama coming down? So you and I probably don't know. But for sure Hashem knows why he sent them down in that predicament and in that situation. No, but I'm saying this guy could live in the Midwest in Yehupitzville, that there's no Beis Chanan and there's no Jewish kids and there's no Mifzayim, and it could be generations of goyim. Obviously, that neshama, that Jewish neshama, came down into this Goyish family to be raised as a Goy and not even to know the Jewish. What's the reason? Who knows? What's my business? Hashem obviously did it for a reason. Yeah, go find them. Right, but there's only way you can even find out, I'm saying. There's no obligation in the world to find out who's Jewish. Who put him in that predicament?
Hashem.
So?
And is that merciful?
Yeah.
Why? Can't keep Torah, can't do mitzvot, can't, you know?
Obviously, Hashem says it's merciful. You don't understand it? That's your problem. That's my problem. That's my problem. It's your problem. It's not Hashem's problem. Hashem knows what he's doing.
We're a part of his problem. And he's a part of our
problem. We're his problem. Not part of his problem. We are his problem. And you know what? And Hashem deals with his problem. Hashem deals with the problem. Okay.